good to see each one of you out tonight. We miss some from among us. If you'd like turning your Bibles to Revelation 8:1, we'll just read our scripture before we're seated. Terrence come down with a bad headache last night and had it today and all, and then he wasn't able to come, and Peggy this afternoon started with one of her headaches. And let's just have a special prayer for them too tonight, especially on that part. And we were by Wade and June's today. There, Josh has had an old stomach virus for about a week now, and he started putting just a little bit of a blood through him, so they're kind of concerned about it. And let's just pray for each one of them, for Terrence and for our wife and for Joshua, and then remember all the rest too, but remember especially these. We've called the names of the requests, and we pray over each one. And just believe the Lord for whatever you have need of. If you can believe, then the Lord can answer prayer again. It's all left up to us to what we can believe. We have many here on the request that we pray for service after service, and we believe the Lord will undertake for them. I believe that, or I wouldn't have their names here. There wouldn't be any need of calling their names if I didn't believe the Lord would come down and honor His word. Well, that's the way I believe it. I believe it on that basis. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You for an opportunity of coming together here. We know that we're a small number, but yet You promise that wherever two or three are gathered in Thy name, that You would be in the midst of us, Lord. And we believe that You're here because Your word says You're here. And then we believe Your presence because we feel You, Lord, here with us in a way that if people could just understand and see the hour that we're living in, the time. Father, just blessing these that are sick. Terrence and our wife, they were wanting to be here tonight. But yet Satan has tried to hinder and stop them from hearing. But Lord, we thank You that there's ways of them hearing even when they're at home sick, that we can take a tape to them and let them hear. We believe, Lord, Your word, that You'll return them unto us, because we believe that by Your stripes they're healed. We ask for little Josh under, Lord, that You would just reach down and touch him, and take away this, Lord, from him that would be a hindrance. Give him his strength back, Lord. Let everything be for Your honor and glory. We commit the service to You, believing Your word, believing You, Lord. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll just read Revelation 8:1. Forgot to read it. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now I want to speak tonight, the Lord willing, on the seven thunders. So just write it that way on your right seventh seal. This would be the seventh seal. And maybe the Lord willing, we'll start this like we did each one of the other seals. You know, we'll have quite a time on it, I'm sure, maybe with a subtitle underneath the seventh seal. But just put the seventh seal, the seven thunders, and that's what I want to speak on tonight. So let's just read Revelations 10, in case we don't in a minute. Maybe we'll get back to reading it, but let's just read Revelation 10:1-4 before we begin. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now them symbolic things, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just some great big angel standing out there and all the different things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Well, now, that's what we'll try to get to in a minute. But I know that it's odd and everything else for people to come in, and for you, some of you younger ones, to hear us talk about thunders, trumpets, and things like that. But we're just trying, I want you to see tonight, maybe if I can get it simple enough for all of us to understand what we're talking about when we say thunder, then maybe one of these days when somebody's saying thunder or talking about something, you'll know what they're talking about. not just a clap of thunder going through the sky, you know, that we hear it, we see lightning and we expect thunder, you know, or loud rumbling to follow that. See, the Bible is written in a symbolic form, especially the book of Revelations is written in a symbolic form, that when we see the symbols and what they are, then we can understand them. But there, this morning, with our brother coming to be with us this morning, I appreciate him coming and fellowshipping with us. He's the only one. I told him out of the family that had come. He was kind of odd about it. He said, y'all own this property here? And I said, no, we just rent it. He said, well, you need to get you a place and build you a nice church and try to get the people to come in. Said, it surprises me to see you with just a handful of people. Said, when you can preach like you can preach, said, you got a good delivery. Said, you got a good message to preach. Said, you preach a, you know, you preach good. He said, I don't understand. How come you just got a handful of people? I said, well, it's because that I'm not trying to do what the rest is trying to do. I said, we're interested in getting out of here. We're interested in leaving this world. We're not interested in staying here for another 20, you know, I didn't tell him this, but we're not interested in staying 20, 30, 40, 50 years or something. If we're here then, that's fine. You know, that's nothing wrong if we're here then. But he could even be honest enough to say, he said, we're supposed to live like that it'll be over with tomorrow, but said, yet still go on that it could go for years and years. I said, you're right. But I said, I'm just interested in getting out of here. I'm not interested in building a big church and big things and all. Well, I'm sure that when I first started, and I'm more sure now, that if I just say, well, would you help me? Well, he'd help me build a church. I had enough family back when I left the Baptist that I could have just started off and maybe half of them would have followed me. If they had, I had a pretty good church. This was half my family. But I'm not interested in that. I never was then. I'm interested in your soul, not, you know, just some kind of a work or some kind of a something. He was talking about how, and my heart longs for these young people in these schools. They said 40%. He was telling me today that they knew that 40% of East Hall School was taking dope. On dope and things like that of the children in the school. And my heart goes out to them too. But see, you can't just say, well, we'll go out here and try to start a big work for the children. I wish we could. The work is here for the children. I wish we had something that we could entertain you with that would be, you know, Christian. Not some kind of a garbage can now. Because, see, he was talking about my brother that's the pastor of the Methodist Church. He said at least he gets the young people in. But now that's right, he gets them in. But you know where they're at today? They're not having services because mom and daddy and all of them gone down to Jekyll Island where they can strip off and have a rip-romping time of a weekend. And then when they go to church there Wednesday, if you want to go by there with me, you can look at them. There goes girls out there with short shorts on going to church. Well, now, if that's all we do in getting into church, we'll just put us a halfway house out here on the side of the road. You know. But listen, we're trying to get out of here, and I'm trying my best to preach a message to get us to the place that we can be ready. And I'm going to tell you this now from my honest and sincere heart, as best that I can tell you, and loving you. And if it drives more of you away from me to say it, then you'll have to go because I have to tell you the truth. But the devil is still trying his best to stop the people from hearing the word. He's tried his best to keep my wife from being able to hear. She wanted to come tonight, but he made her so sick. But now he just got on everybody and just pulled them away and tore them apart till it's left to the place that you can't hardly even have a group of people together. But now listen, this is something personal I want to speak to you. And I'm a human being and I understand. But if it ain't an interesting part, and don't tell me that it's the length of the services now that causes it. Don't think in your mind that the length of the services causes what I'm fixing to say. But a lot of you get sleepy. You'll go to sleep in less than 10 minutes before the service, have the services start. Now, don't tell me it's length of services, because you'd wait 45 minutes before you went to sleep. Now, you go to sleep, you don't hear what's said. Now, if you think the devil ain't trying his best to destroy that, now, that's the devil getting on you. It's not you. And I'm not talking about you when you get sleepy and all like that. I'm talking about the devil that gets on you, because you can't hear. Now, it won't be my fault then, because I've been sleepy. Now, I'm not just talking to one now. I'm talking to about three that's here that's had a lot of trouble lately with staying awake. Now, I told you, I'm human. I understand. But I'm also telling you, asking you, do you get the tapes when you get home and listen to them again and see what was said? Because the devil is trying his best to destroy us. Now, I told Brother Woodby and them, and Brother Collie is a witness to it, that when I was up there with them the other weekend, I was over at Brother Bobby Woodruff's with him over at the service, and it came to me at that, and I told him when we left there, Brother Collie knows, I told him, I said, the devil's trying his best to destroy me. I said, he's destroyed every friend I've got. And he's trying his best to destroy everybody that's around me. See, he's tried to destroy me. He's done everything in the book to try to destroy me. But yet I still stand. I'm still here. It's been rough and hard, but I'm still here. But now he's kind of let up on me. I don't mean he's quit now, because he sure ain't. But he's kind of let up on me, and he's went after you. Because if he can keep you from hearing, then he's got you cut off. He's got you cut off just as much if he can keep you from hearing if you didn't hear the sermon. But see, you yield to it. If you're sitting at home enjoying yourself, I've sat and pinched my legs to stay away. I drove from here to Jeffersonville, Indiana when I worked all night, and got in the car and drove all day the next day, went to services that night, and sat there and pinched myself to stay awake to hear. See, because if you just sit there and yield to it, now you'll go to sleep. You'll drop off sleep in just a few minutes. If you don't fight it, you'll do it. And I see a lot of you come in, sit down. First thing you do, you start sliding down your seat. You start getting comfortable. Well, now, you go drive your car that way. I try and get in your car and slide down the seat and get good and comfortable. I see people driving down the road with a headrest. You know, their head back on it on their side driving. Well, that's dangerous, because I'd go to sleep in half a minute. I've seen people that pull their seat way back, you know, and pull their arm where they get this plumb relaxed. You don't never catch me like that. You catch me with my seat up, my knees are bent. I'm in a position that I'm in sometimes in pain to stay awake, to drive. Now, if I can do that to drive, surely I can do it to stay awake for services. But I'm just telling you that the devil's trying his best to destroy it. If he can keep you from hearing what I'm saying, then he's defeated it just as well as he would if he destroyed me, as far as you're concerned. See, our soul is at stake. I'm interested in getting out of here. I'm wanting to leave this world. Now, there ain't none of us as human mortals as wanting to die. Because when Jesus was here, he said, pray that the cup would pass from him if there's any way for the Lord to let it pass. You remember, he prayed for it to pass. He didn't want to die either. See, that's one of those things in human nature. But if we don't die out to ourselves and let the Lord come alive in us, then we'll miss it. Now, I want you to just think with me. And if that hurts you, then I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I never have in any way said anything to anybody in my life to try to hurt them. If I did, then I'd be just as wrong as they. I've said a lot of things that hurt now. I said a lot of things that hurt real bad. But I never said it to try to hurt the person. I said it to try to get them to wake up to where they'd see themselves. But not to try to hurt them. Because I'm a human mortal. I know what it is to be a human mortal. I'm just like you. We're all sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. There ain't nothing good in none of us. Even the Lord himself in human flesh, according to Scripture, he got over here, he said, there's none good, no, not one. Now, he's talking about his own self with it. Because he knew in him, being virgin born, he'd never sinned or nothing. But yet still in him was nothing that was any good. If God didn't come and take that flesh that he had there and change it, then if he hadn't come to it, like we was talking about this morning, the lamb provided for it, if the Lord hadn't come and took the flesh of Jesus Christ and raised it from the dead, then it would have rotten. Just like any other flesh. Because it was human flesh. I used to think, see, he was so divine that he didn't have human flesh. But now he had human flesh just like we have. The Bible said he's tempted in all points as we are. See, he knows what it's all about then. When you talk to him and pray to him, talk to him like that. And you'll see that he understands you. Talk to him about how that he, do you remember, Lord, when you walked here, there's a certain brother, he don't like that song about, you remember something about when you were here on earth. Well, it's worse now than it is then, was then, you know, and all like that. There's a song that they sang like that. And his brother, he don't like that song because he says, well, the Lord ought to know all about it. Well, I'm just honest. I think the Lord knows. But it's not bad to remind him of it either, that he used to be a human. And he knows what it is to be a human. He knows what it is to be sleepy. He didn't condemn Peter and them when he came up there and found them asleep. He didn't beat them with a stick and throw rocks at them. He told them, said, can't you wait with me? See, then when he come back the last time and found them sleeping, he said, just sleep on. Because the Son of Man's been turned over to sinners, in other words. But listen, if we don't get what I'm talking about right here, now I'm going to make it just personal as I can. People have thought of it, been exalted and everything else. I don't believe I have. But if what the Lord has showed me about these thunders is true, now if it's true what he showed me about them, and Brother Branham said, I believe it's 284, 285. It's the left-hand side of the page, I know. It'd be 284. He said that if a person thinks he has those thunders, he said if it won't compare with the rest of the Scriptures, see, in other words, he said it's got to compare. Let's just read. He said it's got to compare, 284, with the rest of the Scriptures. That's the way with the church ages and seals all through the rest of it. And when anybody thinks that he has those seven thunders, if it don't compare with the rest of the word, there's something wrong. It's got to come, thus saith the Lord, for this is the book, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its entirety. Talking about the Bible. Now the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its entirety. And he said if a person thinks he has those thunders, and we just read here, as we started off in Revelations 8:1, that there's silence in heaven. All right, we read over in Revelations 10:1-4 that there were seven thunders uttered, and when they did, John was commissioned to write all that he saw and done and send it back to the church, you know. But when he come to those thunders, he couldn't write it. So now that will be that will have to be what that seventh seal is those thunders. But now, if we don't get it, and the only way we can get it, and I've got it in my notes, and I've preached it over and over to you, the only way we'll ever get anything is by way of the prophet messenger. That's why we read what he said. That's why we study what he said. That's why I spend more time now honestly studying what the prophet has said about the Scriptures than I do reading the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures are there, but if I don't understand what they're talking about, I'm just as lost. I can read and read and read and read. I've read it and read it and read it and read it. I don't know how many times when I was in the Baptist that I read the Bible through trying to get a knowledge of it. But I didn't have an understanding of what God was talking about. But see, I tried. Then I was just like I am now. I thought if a person was going to be a Christian, he ought to know what God's talking about. He ought to at least know the Bible. So I said, I have to read the Bible. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it. Well, I appreciate that the Lord allowed me to do that. Because, see, now I can read the message the prophet said. I ain't throwed my Bible away now. I still read it. But I'm just telling you the way I get a sermon. I spend more time studying Brother Brown's message than I do reading actually out of the Scriptures, because if I can see what he's talking about, it'll be in the Scriptures, and then I'll see the Scriptures. for what they really are. See, I'll catch it right out. It'll be there in the Scripture because I believe what the prophet said is in the Bible. I don't believe this that, you know, that we got to just take Brother Brown's word for it and just go along, you know, and what he says is it. I had it there this morning. I didn't get to it. If we don't get it ourselves by revelation, then we'll miss it. That's what I was talking about. By your faith, we'll have to produce a lamb for you. Then it won't do any good to say, I've got Brother Branham's faith, or I've got the faith of the fathers, or I've got any kind of faith like that, even to say, I've got the faith they had in the Bible. I'm a great, you know, have great faith. If you don't have it for yourself, it's got to be your faith. It's got to be your faith. Watch it now in a minute when I read what the prophet said. He said, this is my revelation of it. All right, now if that don't come from the Lord speaking through him, what's in the Bible, don't come to me and you and be our revelation of it, then we're still lost. Now that's the seriousness of what I'm talking about. We've taught religion, we've been in churches and out of churches and up and down. The people of this message, they beat and hammer and holler about denominationalism and the people that's out there and the people. They don't talk about their own selves. But I believe I know what those thunders are. And I believe by the help of the Lord, we'll see what they are tonight. Most of us already know what they are. But yet there's a little something. We were talking about it today, going to Gainesville. We're talking about how that the thunders. My wife said, well, the thunders, that's the revelation contained in the seven seals. I said, that's right. She said, when you're getting anything from the seals, that's the thunders. I said, well, that's right now, but you can go overboard there. You can go on out too far with that statement. Those thunders have a specific thing that they're bringing out. If we don't catch that, then we don't even know where we're saved or not. When I get to it and preach on it like I did up at Brother Woodby's, you that were up there, you heard me speaking about how that there would be a token. I told you I never had preached on that. Well, see, I've got the notes written for that to speak on it. It'll probably be five or six sermons away before I get to it. But I want to come down in us to see that there is a token of all tokens. And if we know what those thunders are, there's your token of all tokens. It'll come to you and you'll see it. You'll see then why the prophet said he preached the token message, and he said that was the greatest message outside of the regular commission of the seven seals that he'd ever preached. He said it capped the whole message off. Then you'll see right there. Because I can see now, church, just from what I can see about the thunders, and I've seen some of this a long time, but yet the Lord's opened more just recently to me. I can see more of how that Bible become a brand new book to the prophet than I ever did. And you know yourself, I preached that years ago, and it did become a new book to us. But I want you just to think with me now and just stay with me and listen to what I'm saying, and then go home and think about it and pray about it and ask the Lord to speak to you from it. And if you don't get what I'm saying, get the tape and listen to it. Cut it off and pray about it. I don't get what he's talking about there. There's something he's saying, I don't quite understand what he's saying. Let's see, then maybe the Lord will open that up, then you can turn the tape back on and move on a little further. Because, listen, Brother Branham said right around the coming of the Lord, our jobs wouldn't be too important. Now, is your job tonight more important than your salvation? If they came in the plant you're working in and said, you're going to have to take the mark of the beast to work here, how many people would go right on working and take that mark of the beast? Well, now that's where we stand right now. I ain't saying quit your jobs because I ain't quit mine. But I'm saying put Christ first. Put him before your whole family and everything. Because if you don't, God won't have no second place. Now, there's no second place in God. He won't come that way. We're not going to have the communion and foot washing tonight, so I might be a little lengthy, so you just pray for me and pray with me. We won't have the communion and foot washing until next week. But now, as we enter this, I want us to think. He said, this is my revelation. All right, now we're going to have to be able to say the same thing. This is my revelation. Because it ain't going to do you no good if it ain't your revelation. And you'll see on the next couple of messages why I'm saying that more than ever. Because those thunders there, when that prophet, watch what I say, when that prophet preached that message, he said, I know you're not getting it. And he said, it's done gone from you. And he said, there's no way for you to get it. I'm just looking at that today. That's on the sixth seal on the questions and answers and through there and all. Because he saw then they wasn't getting it. And he said, there's no way for you to get it. All right, then let's just take what he said. He said, there was no way for us to get it. Not then, see. He had it. He knew what it was. They broke to him and he told us what they were. But he said, there's no way for you to know what it is now. But then when he got over to the comments on the seventh seal, he said, right around the coming of the Lord, there'd be seven voices of those seven thunders would sing. Well, now we believe we're right around the coming of the Lord. Well, then it's time for me and you to know what those thunders are. You see what I'm placing on? He knew what they was, but that's been 20 years ago. 1963 when he preached the seal of March. That's been over 20 years ago. He knew what they were. But he said, it's gone from you and you'll not catch it. But he said, right around the coming of the Lord. See, he had to preach the message. The Lord willing, I can see what he was doing. He had to preach the message and get it out. Then he come back and made the comments and told the people, said, you won't catch it. Not one time, listen, not one time on that original seventh seal did he say that the seventh seal wasn't broke. There's one statement there, but you study that statement real carefully. He's talking about it wasn't broke down through time. But when he comes to the comments over and over, he says, it's not broke, it's not broke, it's not broke, it's not broke. Then you'll hear him later on in messages later talk about how the seventh seal's not broke. Feast of the Trumpets, he talked about how it's not broke. I know I remember that. But listen, it was broke to him, but not broke to me. See, it's not my revelation until it's broke to me. Those seals are not your revelation until they're broke to you. They can be broke to me and still not broke to you. The Lord willing, we'll see right tonight that you can actually hear the thunders and still not know what they are. You can actually sit there and someone tell you, read it right out of the book, and you still not know what they are. Until the Lord reveals to you what they are, you don't know what they are. It don't matter how much you read. Now listen, the only way you'll ever get it is by reading. I ain't talking about stop reading. But you can actually hear. Daniel heard the thunders. But he didn't know what they were. That was back in the Old Testament. He heard it. Now, if we don't get far enough tonight, maybe to hold a point, if I can just see. If I start losing you, I'll just quit. We'll take it up next time. Because I want you to see it. We don't have time. I won't be going back through the seals again. I know that. I preached them. Remember, I started in 1979. I preached through them one time. And then I started back over again. Well, now me and Brother Woodby didn't get together and plan nothing. But the Lord told him, said, the people ain't got what you preach, so go back and preach it again. He went back and started preaching his message over again. I didn't say anything to him. See, I was going back over mine again. See, I'm just the kind of a guy that there's been so much fanaticism. There's been so much talk and so much garbage that goes on in the message until I just don't come out here and tell you, you know, that the Lord's doing this through me and the Lord's doing that through me and all that. I just don't talk like that because there's been so much fanaticism that's went around until I don't want nobody thinking I'm something. I'd rather just keep on preaching it until you catch it and see it. And see, if I can do that, then I've accomplished what I'm sent for. People call me exalted and everything else, intellectual and everything in the book, just because I've tried to study the message. Just because I've tried to pray and seek the Lord and find out some. People have called it intellect. Well, I don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. I told a man that the other day. I said, you ain't got enough sense, son, to come in out of the rain. I said, somebody had to teach you how. Ain't that right? We didn't even have enough sense to learn how to walk. Somebody had to teach us how to walk. We ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain as a human mortal. You ever seen a turkey? They claim a turkey, that if you ain't careful with them, they'll just these old hotbed plant turkeys, you know, that they got. They'll just stand right out there and look right up in the rain and stand there and drink themselves to death. And it'll rain. They ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain. Well, that's where me and you are at. We ain't got enough sense for nothing else. It had to be the Lord. I don't believe that it's been my intellect that's brought me where that I am in the message. It's just like I said this morning. If my intellectual ability now, I'm truthful and honest, as sincere as I can be and not throwing off on nobody, but if my great ability to read has brought me to the place that the Lord has brought a message, that there's never been one person ever stood before the message I brought. Now you tell me when it has. There's been a lot of people that hadn't believed it. But there's never been nobody come to this church and straighten me out yet. Now I didn't do that. I ain't got that much sense. Then people ought to know that it had to be the Lord. As Brother Branham said, he said, nothing stood before my message. Well, see, I know that a long time ago. I could come out here and say, look, there ain't nothing ever stood before my message. People have thought I got exalted. But there's never been anybody come and sit down and say, Brother Dale, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, you're wrong here. I've had a lot of them to misunderstand me. You know, misunderstand what I say. But they always had to admit what I said was right. They couldn't agree with them. A lot of them wouldn't. A lot of people left from here didn't agree with what I said. But they'll tell you in a hurry what I said was right because I told you what the prophet said. See, now that's where I'm standing. If I can stand right there, then the Lord will have to come to that. Because, see, if we can get what the prophet has said, then stand there on it and wait, then the Lord will come to that. He ain't promised to come to nothing else. But he's promised to come to that. Now let's just start for a little bit and think about something that the prophet has said, and then maybe if I just cut it off, I see it dropping, I'll cut it off and we'll start again and just pick it up later. But let's just think about something. Now if you've got your seal book and would like to follow, look at 557. And now listen, I'll say one thing. I've said a lot of things that you didn't catch what I said. And I told Sister Birds and him going up the road today, I said, my old day of ministry is over. Now the Lord has changed my style of ministry. It's hard for me to drop back and start reading tonight. But I'm going to have to do it for this sermon. That don't mean I won't be teaching messages going down through that. It won't mean I won't be preaching or anything. But I believe the Lord has come to take over, is what I believe. I believe he'll take over. And he'll put the message together for us, and you won't see a whole lot of things that you used to see about me reading page after page and different things. You'll see what I was doing this morning, preaching the seventh seal right down the line this morning, and my brother here, and he could catch little things along the line in the way. You showed me that that ain't the way the prophet done it. Brother Branham could be talking in the same sentence. He'd be talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In a few minutes, he'd be talking about the headstone. A person there could catch that at any level coming up. From a sinner to repentance all the way to the filling of the Holy Ghost. See, when the Lord comes, I know now what that is. I know what those things are. But now just think. Now listen to what the prophet says. This is 557. He talks about how that we got to it there this morning, 556, how that there was a half hour, and a half hour silence is what we read over here. And he comes down to that place, and I told you this morning, I said, now Brother Branham said on 109, he said, we come back to this on the seventh seal, and right here's where he come back to it when he says, now a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time, but in the suspense between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. Now he's talking about John on the Isle of Patmos. And that's who he's talking about when he's talking about that high fire silence, because he's the first one to heard that. So John in Revelation 5, it comes right back to that in Revelations, over here under that Revelations 8:1. The Lord Jesus Christ bringing a person there until he seeks a redeemer. That's what I was wanting you to see this morning. Then he talks about how that everything in heaven gets quiet. Then he says, now, I'm going to tell you my revelation. I'm not prone to be a fanatic, he says, and goes on about how that he said strange things. But he said, I want to tell you my revelation. He said, I've said strange things, but he said, God come by and back it up. Vindicate it to be the truth. Now, as certain as I stand in the platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed. He's talking about the seventh seal now, that high fire silence. He's going to tell you his revelation of what that high fire silence is. It's in a threefold manner. That I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. And then let's go over there first. Now he starts in, he says he's going to speak of a fold of it. It's in a threefold manner. We get to Christ as a mystery of God revealed later to see that threefold manner. Then you'll see that this was exactly right what the prophet says here. It goes exactly to Christ as a mystery of God revealed. But he says, I want to speak to you of a fold. Now he tells you he wants to go somewhere. Let's go over there first. Now, where's he going? He's in Revelations 8:1 that he's read. He said, now let's go over there. Now, let's see where he's going to. Here's a revelation to begin what. I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders that he heard thunder and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders rolling out. That's Revelations 10, verse 2 and 3, verse 3 and 4. I mean, is that right? We read it when we started. There was a high fire silence, Revelations 8:1. Then you get over Revelations 10. And when John heard that, he said, don't write it. John couldn't write it. Now you watch the prophet, and he'll show you all the way through. It's in a threefold manner, and he speaks of a fold of it. He tells you that it's the seven thunders. He tells you this mystery, this quiet secret mystery, this silence in heaven for a space of half hour, he tells you that that is those seven thunders. That's what it is. The mystery that lays behind those seven thunders is what it is. Then it reads over in Revelations 10, verse 3 and 4, that there, when those thunders sound, he said, seal it up. Don't tell nobody. All right? It's those seven thunders now. That's what this great secret is of silence in heaven. Then we ought to be able to put Revelations 8:1 and Revelations 10:3 and 4 there together. And see that that great silence is those seven thunders, because here's something that's nothing written. Now watch what I'm talking about. Here's something in Revelations 8:1. There's nothing written there. Here in Revelations 10:3 and 4, there's nothing written because he said, write it not. All right, then that would have to be the same thing. Because, see, here's something that's nothing written, and here's something he tells him not to write. So when that seventh seal broke in heaven, there was silence for the half hour because he was already told not to write it. Seal it up.
See, that is that mystery. You see what I'm talking about now? Put Revelations 8:1 with silence, with Revelations 10:3 and 4 there, of seven thunders, and not write it. Now, that's the silence. That's the quiet part. That is that silence. He could not write those thunders. See here, silence in heaven when the seventh seal broke. Well, now that's what it would be then, wouldn't it? It would be those seven thunders because the prophet said that's what it was. But also we can see that here in Revelations 8:1 from our own looking at it. To see if our revelation is right, we look at Revelations 8:1, we see silence in heaven. We look over here in Revelations 10:3 and 4, and it says, seal it, write it not. Then whatever that is, it was said over here, is what that silence is. Because I preached to you a long time ago that those angels in heaven was looking at something. You remember the message years ago? All of you that's been around ought to remember the message that I preached on it, that those that are in heaven is the one that's looking at something that's happening. We're looking at them as they look at something. See, they don't move. They don't do anything because they might give away the secret. But what they're looking at is what causes them not to move. So what they're seeing those seven thunders. Now the prophet said on sirs, what time is it? He said the thunders sound on earth, not in heaven. That it has to sound in heaven in the vision part of it here. But the thunders don't sound in heaven, they sound on earth, because the prophet said it did. Now get me rightly, they sound in heaven because the Bible's talking about a heavenly scene. You see what I'm talking about there? They do sound in heaven that way, but when the prophet's talking about it, when they're revealed, they're not revealed in heaven, they're revealed on earth. Well then whatever that group of people is that's looking at it, they're looking at those thunders being revealed. And they stand in awe. Now, if the people that believe the 21 years, you know, like from 63 to about 84 is 21 years, and they got about 21 years at the high fires, you know, a high fire in heaven, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years, and they multiply all that out and come out with about 21 years. If they look at that away for a moment, then I might talk to them. I might be willing to talk to them if they just get the time out of their mind and look at what the Lord's been doing for 21 years. He's been doing something now for 20 years. He's been showing Himself. If they'd look at it like that, then they wouldn't be saying, that's what that seal is, a high fire silence, that's 20 years. They'd be saying the Lord had done something because what we're looking at a scene, seeing them as they look at something. Then if the thunder sound on earth, where are they looking? They stop, don't they? Watch. If you was told there was silence in heaven, wouldn't you look for a place of a secret thing in the Bible? I'm just giving you simple mathematical calculations. 1 + 1 = 2, I guess, or what you'd say. If you was looking for a silence, the best place to go is find something that ain't written. So go from 8:1 to Revelations 10:3 and 4, and you'll see it. That there's silence in heaven with those seven thunders when he said, write it not. See, that was that silence. Now, if we don't get that, as I tried to cover this morning, if we don't get those seven thunders, then we're only presuming. The next message we take up on it, maybe the Lord willing, we'll see that a little better. You're only presuming unless those thunders sound. You don't really know where you're at. You're only presuming what's going on. But now let's just think of one thing now. Here's what I said I wanted us to pick up. If we have to, we'll just get it down in simple terms. What is a thunder? I preached a message some time ago on what is a thunder to try to get you to see it. But I've seen more since then of what I saw then, but I've seen more of it. But now, what is a thunder? All right, then the prophet says read from 137, 38, and 139 of the seal book. Read on over about 130, 141, 142, 140, and on, get on up about 155. Brother Branham says a thunder is the voice of God. Now, he's using something there to explain it. He's using John 12, where Jesus was just standing out there. Let's just get our scripture. He uses this to explain a thunder from John 12. Now listen. Listen to what's said. You read in your Bible here with me, but when you get a chance, read in the seal book what the prophet said about it. Because he's read this scripture and he said, now, we won't have to wonder what that thunder is. And then he tells you that it's the voice of God on 138, 139. Jesus speaking now, watch him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Now listen. Then came there a voice from heaven saying. Now he's already been talking, but then there's a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now that was what was said. But what did the people hear? What did the people hear that was there? Thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. That's talking about the voice of the Lord, ain't it? So now the voice of the Lord is a thunder. I said we're not talking about a bloom, bloom, bloom during an electrical storm. We're talking about a voice that speaks. But mankind cannot understand that voice. See, they just can't do it. They can't catch that voice. So they think it thundered. And the best a man could describe it was as how, watch Job in 137, read Job 137, 1 through 5. Of how the voice, it thundereth with the voice of his excellency. It's the voice of the Lord. See, now putting in the scriptures and putting in Brother Brown's message, we know that a thunder is the voice of God. Now, when you're reading that, you'll see that the prophet is explaining that in the Bible in Revelation 6:1, there was one thunder when the first seal broke, and you don't have another thunder listed after then. Now watch that. When you're doing it, look at that point and think about it. In Revelation 6:1, there was a thunder. One. There wasn't another one. Now the thunder is the voice of God. Now get that down and it'll help you to understand something in just a minute. It doesn't mean just bloom, bloom, bloom. It means God is speaking. Something himself. He was talking there when Jesus said, Father, glorify my name, thy name. He said, I've glorified it and glorified again. Them that's standing by heard it thunder. But it said something to him. That's what I read these scriptures are giving to you to think about. How the voice of the thunder thundered out. Brother Branham said that there at Mount Sinai, when God come down to speak to the children of Israel, that the voice of the Lord thundered out. But you know, they didn't hear what was supposed to be heard there. They didn't hear a voice talking to them. They're scared to death. They heard thunders and lightnings and things. You know, they were scared about what they heard. They didn't hear some voice talking to them. When God speaks, He's speaking directly to you. Those standing by don't hear what you hear. That ought to prove that it's a personal revelation unto you. To you and you alone. To those standing by, they'd hear a thunder or some kind of rumble or some kind of a something going on. But to you, you hear the voice of the Lord talking specifically to you. Bringing it directly to you. But now, Revelation 6, that's what he's talking about, verse 1. When the first seal broke, he heard a thunder and the voice said, come and see. All right, now that voice was the voice of the Lord that was saying, come and see. See, that was what it was saying. All right, now, Brother Branham says on that one, and if you'll check, sirs, what time is it, you'll find that he's saying the same thing, that what about when they open in reality? All right, then in 1963, when Brother Branham went to Tucson, Arizona, and was out there picking them sand spurs, we call them, off of his britches, a thunder thundered forth. There was one blast of thunder, and seven angels appeared unto him. That's 559. Read it right on the bottom of the page. A great blast of thunder thundered when the prophet there. But you know what was said? I'll find it for you if you'd like. I'm pretty sure it's on Standing in the Gap, but I know two or three times, because I've preached on it enough here that you ought to remember some of the pages yourself, that a voice spoke to Brother Branham out there. That's what the thunder was. Everybody else heard a whoom, whoom, you know, rolling like that. But Brother Branham heard a voice said, return back to Jeffersonville. It'll be told to you there about those seven seals. See, he heard a voice. The rest around just heard a thunder. One blast in the Bible. One thunder. One blast in the last days. One thunder. That's all it was. One blast. But Brother Branham said this great mystery secret that lies under this seventh seal, he said that was those seven thunders. Now read 141 and 142 of the seal book and it'll save me having to do it. I'll preach to you about it. I like that way now better, because if you won't go home and read, you're not interested in it. You won't get it. Read also, that'd be 141 and 142. Read 557 and 558 of the seal book. And watch the prophet explaining that those seven thunders are different from that one thunder. Now, he never in the message anywhere compares one thunder with the seven. He'll always say that seven thunders, that's different. All right, now anybody mathematically knows one and seven is different. But what we're talking about is something that we've got to get real close on. Because when you're studying this, you can't look at one thunder being the voice of God and seven thunders being the voice of man somewhere. It's all going to be the voice of God. But now, I want you to think now just for a minute with me on this. If we'll look at it rightly, maybe we can see what we're talking about, seven thunders. And why the prophet would say those seven thunders are different from the seals. He'd bring it out like that. He'd say one thunder and seven angels appeared. He'd bring it out. He said seven thunders. Said this here seven thunders, like one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Said like it's spelling out something. And he just got through explaining that there was one thunder and seven angels appeared. All right, now, a thunder is the voice of God. Now that's what it is. That's the reason the prophet used that to show us what it was. Many people have heard the voice of God. Many people have heard the voice of God as a thunder, as a trumpet in the Bible. But now, what's the difference? In the seven thunders, which is the voice of God speaking, but it's what it's manifesting. He's the cornerstone now, but one of these days he'll be the headstone. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ that's here as he is here. You see what I'm talking about? Same Lord Jesus is your faith here as he is there when it finishes and it caps off. Then, now listen. Judas heard the voice of God. He walked with him for 3.5 years, didn't he? Pontius Pilate. He heard the voice of God when he was talking to him. Many of the people in the Bible heard Jesus Christ speaking. That was the voice of God. You could call that a thunder because they heard the voice of God. Many sinners have heard the voice of the Lord. A man that I witnessed to some 10 years ago about the water baptism. The Lord spoke to him and told him that it was right in an audible voice. I believe him. But you know he never would be baptized even after the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice. I don't mean just, you know, thought it. He said it spoke audibly. And I believe it. Because the Lord can speak audibly to you. You know, he can use a voice. But many, now get the foundation and watch it. Many have heard the voice of the Lord. Many have heard it like a trumpet. Many have heard it like a thunder. Many have heard God speaking personally to them. But that's not the seven thunders of Revelations 10. You say, well, that's the voice of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord. That's why I said, if you just say, well, those thunders, that's the revelations in the seals, and as long as we're getting something from the seals, then we're getting the thunders. Well, that might be true, and it might not. Because there's plenty of those things in those seals that you wouldn't need the thunder to get it out of. You already know about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you did, some of the denominations, before they ever heard about the prophet. But yet it's in the seals about the water baptism, but you didn't hear the thunder to tell you that. You say, I heard the voice of the Lord to tell me that. Yeah, and that's what I'm telling you. If you hold that teaching like that, then you'll miss what the thunders really are. See, I used to hold that. That's the reason I'm saying it. I used to have that understanding. That's the reason I'm saying it. I used to believe that if you're just hearing something from God out of the seals, then that would be the thunder. Well, that could be true, but it might not. Because especially what I see those thunders to be now, it wouldn't be. But now, watch the example now as we go through it. Try to see what we're talking about, that one thunder is the voice of God. That's fine. But you're talking about seven thunders now, that's the voice of God. Well, now that one thunder brings you the Lord talking to you. This seven thunders is the Lord talking to you. But there's a difference in the two. A difference enough until we miss the rapture if we don't catch it. Daniel, on page 12 of the Revelation's Book of Symbols, Daniel heard the seven thunders. And if you'll watch what the prophet's talking about, he's talking about Daniel coming down to the end of the book. And he's not mistaken when he says Daniel heard the thunders. He goes on to talk about John heard them also. So you know he's not just playing around. But Daniel heard those thunders. Now, what are we talking about? A sinner can hear the voice of the Lord. A Christian can hear the voice of the Lord. A prophet could hear the voice of the Lord and speak to it, and that not be the thunders. But yet when you get to the thunder, that's what it's, the voice of the Lord. See, that's what I want you to see, that there is a difference between those two there then, of what they're bringing. You can actually hear it. We have been hearing it. I believe Brother Branham preached the thunders. I believe he preached them right there in those seals in 1963. And I believe we've been hearing that ever since then. But I don't believe we've caught it. Because I could ask you, I'd say, where's the thunder? You'd say, well, that's the voice of God. Well, I'd say Judas heard that. Now where are you at? Judas heard the voice of God. Pilate heard the voice of God. Daniel even heard the thunders. But he still didn't get the revelation of it. So it's possible to hear it. Be possible for you to actually hear it. Now to me, this scripture come to me, and I wrote it down while I was thinking on the thought that you can hear his voice and not get the revelation, and here's the scripture that come with it. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, how that you can know all mysteries. And Paul quotes it three times, once in each one of them, talking about knowing things, different, knowing this, knowing that, and have not charity. He says it'll profit you nothing. See, you can actually know the mystery. So you could know the mystery of the seventh seal. You could actually know that mystery now that I'm talking about. You could actually know that it is those seven thunders. And it would be just an intellectual conception to you. Because that's what Paul said it was. He said you could know all mysteries and be able to move mountains and give your body to be burned and all of that and still have not charity, which is love. And you'd be just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Wouldn't be worth 2 cents then, would it? See, you can actually know. You can actually know by head knowledge what the rapture really is and what it consists of. You could actually know the end time message by head knowledge. Inside out, upside down, and backwards, and still not know what the mystery is. Because we've done seen that the thunder's the voice of God, and we've done found out many people heard the voice of God. And Daniel even heard the thunders themselves and still didn't know what it was. Alright, then we better consider something. That there is a difference between one thunder that would be the voice of God and seven thunders that would be the voice of God. We better consider that little thought there. Because the prophet, that's the way he kept bringing it out. He said, now these thunders are different. There's a difference in one thunder, that being the voice of God, and seven thunders, and that being the voice of God. They said it's like cornerstone and headstone. That's the same stone, but what it's doing for the time. So then if you look at that now, you'll see that the one thunder can be the voice of God speaking to you. But that don't mean you know what the thunders are. Didn't God speak to Brother Branham many, many, many thousands of times before the seals was ever broke to it? Didn't he tell him many great mysteries out of the Bible before the seals was ever broke to him? Then he heard the voice of the Lord, didn't he? But that wasn't the seven thunders. Because them seven thunders was something different from what he'd already brought there. Not different like cat and dog. It's different like headstone, cornerstone. It's different like voice of the Lord talking to you and the voice of the Lord talking to you. It might be clear as mud, as I kid Brother Colley. I used to say a lot of times, I say, you understand that, Brother Colley? Yeah, I think I do. I said, well, that's clear as mud, ain't it? You know, mud's pretty dirty. But you see what I'm talking about? Cornerstone and headstone is two different things, but it's the same thing that manifested. It's the Lord Jesus Christ here as a cornerstone. It can't be the same stone as here. It's the headstone. It's the voice of the Lord. Now, the thunders can be the voice of God. Let me say that this way. The thunder can be the voice, not thunders. The thunder can be the voice of God speaking to anyone. But the seven thunders are different from that. It's not just God speaking to anyone like that. He can speak to a sinner. And when a sinner, he called a sinner, that is the voice of the Lord speaking to him. Because you'll find out in a minute, I'm talking about revelation. I'm not talking about you hearing an audible voice. I don't believe there'll be seven thunders out here that we'll hear seven audible voices. That's what most of the people of the message think, that maybe this man will have one thunder, and that man will have another thunder, and that man will have another. I don't believe that. I believe we've already got the thunders. I believe the prophets already brought them, and he understood them. Then it won't take seven men to preach them then. It'll take the bride of Jesus Christ with all the ministry that's in her to preach them and her to understand them. But it won't be seven men if it just took Brother Branham to preach it. See, the voice of God can speak to many. Now watch my illustration over. If I have to keep going over and over and over, that's fine. He can speak to many, even sinners. That's his voice. We've talked about how the thunder in John 12 and 29, where they that stood by said it thundered. We've used that to see what a thunder is, as being the voice of God. We've talked about how that Daniel heard the thunders. I believe we've heard the thunders. But now, the thunders have to me, let me use this word, a special meaning. When you're talking about the seven thunders. John on the Isle of Patmos heard one thunder, and seven seals broke. That was the voice of the Lord. Then the voice of the Lord spoke to a prophet and told him what those seven thunders were. Now listen. Those seven thunders are under the seventh seal. We'll find one of these days that's all connected all the way through, but they're under the seventh seal. The thunder that was to John to break that, when the voice saying, come and see, when the first seal broke, that was just seal number one. The seven thunders are under the seventh seal. It's a voice of God. Each one of the others I've referred to, like the sinner, and there in the Bible, and the Daniel, and all, that's the voice of the Lord. But this has something special. It's God speaking about something that is meaning to you about the thunders. As I said, Brother Branham's done heard it. Do you know what most people think? Most people think he's got to come back and preach them. Now that's what the biggest percentage are looking for. They think you can't understand what the thunders are, that Brother Brown's going to have to come back one of these days and preach them to us. Well, now I don't believe that. I believe what he preached was those thunders. I believe when he said, this is my revelation of it, it's those seven thunders, he knew what those thunders were. I believe he knew. Then he don't have to come back and tell us because he's already told us. That'll take another message to see that he's already told us what they were. He knew exactly what they were, and he knew when it was going on and what had happened with them. He knew right when it was opening and everything. He knew what those thunders were, and he told us what they were. Well, he don't have to come back and tell me again what they are. I'm not against people that believe that. I just don't believe that. Because I believe he's already told us what they are. Well, it'd be no use of him coming back. The Bible says God is not a vain repetition. Well, then it'd be foolish. Now, maybe that's a wrong word to use. If people hear this that don't like my tone of language, then that's just the way I speak sometimes. But to me, there would be no need of him coming back because he's already told us what they were. There'd be no need to send him back to tell us again what they were, because the Bible says he won't do that. You remember the man that died and went on, and he said, well, just send Lazarus back to talk to my brothers. What was it the voice told him? He said, they have them down there. He said, if they won't hear them, they wouldn't hear one raised from the dead. Ain't that right now? If you won't hear what the prophet's already said in the message, you think it'd even do any good raising from the dead and let him come back and preach again to you? No, it wouldn't do you no good. But listen to what he says, 327, 328 of the Church Age book. The messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10, 7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he'll reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now, that couldn't be no plainer than that. The thunders are the revelations contained in the seven seals. That couldn't be no plainer. So it wouldn't be God speaking to a sinner. You see why I've kept laying on that? It wouldn't be God speaking to just a man out here on the highway. It wouldn't be God talking to Daniel back there and telling him the thunder. It wouldn't be the thunder that would be back there in when Jesus said, glorify my name, and he said, I've glorified, we'll glorify it again. And it thundered, and that was the voice of the Lord. It wouldn't just be that then. See, it would be something specific. Now think and shake yourself. It would be something that would have to do with those seven seals. It would be the revelations contained in those seven seals. Now hold that point just for a minute. 243, Questions and Answers, Book 4. Or if you want it, 1161, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. Have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? They asked him a question. Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the seven thunders? No. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. That's what the thunders was about. The seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. See, they're the revelation of God speaking to you. They are the revelation of God to you, which is the voice of God to you. Now, are you following me through that? I know I'll go back and repeat this again later on to where we'll get it, but I want you to understand that's the voice of God speaking to you. That's the revelation. We're not just talking about hearing a voice. I've never heard God in an audible voice. Have you? But we're not talking about an audible voice sound. We're talking about when God speaks to you by revelation. He could speak to anybody by an audible voice. That wouldn't be the thunder. Now listen, I believe this much in God. There would be no need in God speaking to anybody and telling them what the thunders were by an audible voice. I mean an audible sound. A voice that you'd turn around and look and a tree standing there and a voice coming out of the tree. There'd be no need of that. He's already told the prophet what they were. Now he can do that if he wants to. I ain't saying he ain't going to do it. I'm just saying I don't see that because God speaks to you by revelation is what he's talking to you. And the revelation you receive comes by what you have already heard. God's speaking to you by revelation, something you've already previously read and studied. Then that's the way he spoke to me and told me what they were. The audible voice, he can speak to anybody, but the revelation is when he speaks to you personally. Now, you could hear a voice and a revelation. The prophet had many revelations that the voice of the Lord had brought to him. You might have had revelations the voice of the Lord had brought to you, but those seven thunders are something pertaining specifically straight to those seven seals. It's what those seals are about. Then those seven thunders are not just the voice of the Lord that we'd hear. That's a sinner can hear that. But it's the revelation of God speaking straight to you. Didn't I start off saying the prophet said, this is my revelation? He knew what those thunders were. That was his revelation. He knew what they were. The voice of the Lord is the revelation of God. People say, oh, if I could just hear the voice of the Lord. Here's the Bible. Isn't that the word of the Lord? Isn't that God in letter form? It's like Brother Woodby's preaching about, which one you'd rather have pray for you tonight? And you'd rather have Jacob come back up out of the Old Testament Bible and stand him up here? And you be sick and come up here and want to be prayed for? You'd rather have Jacob to pray for you? Or you'd rather have me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost when Jacob just spoke of me? When Jacob wasn't even in the kingdom, he wasn't even born again. Sure, if God would hear him, he'd hear me. Which one you'd rather have pray then? See how we're living below our standard? Which one you'd rather have tonight to come pray for you, an angel? Why, that's the devil's bait there. Satan will send you an angel down and let him pray for you. Didn't he send a man down there to who was it, Luther or one or other of them, and they throw the inkwell at him? Didn't the devil come to him in a great shining angel and say, I'm Jesus? Well, don't think he can't appear to you, but there's one way he can't come. He can't come through this word. That's why he can't know what those thunders are, because those thunders are the revelation, and he can't get the revelation. He has to be born again to get it. But see, you can hear the voice. You can hear what the thunders are, and it not be revealed to you. You don't know what they are. That thunder, now watch what I'm getting to now. Watch the little point that if you ain't careful, you'll drop off with it when you just say, well, the thunder, that's the voice of God speaking to me about the revelation, and if I'm hearing anything from the seals, then I'm hearing the thunder. Brother Branham taught water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the seals. But he taught that before then. That wasn't the voice of the thunder. He taught one true and living God before the seals ever broke. That's not a thunder, but yet that's in the seals now, because the seals contain the entire book. But watch what it is now. The seven thunders are the end. Now catch this point. What seal are the thunders under? The seventh. The next message we'll take up probably will be the seventh seal, or one of these days, being the end of all things. Then if those thunders are there, it's not the beginning of any revelation. If those thunders are under the seventh seal, and the prophet said they was, then it's not the beginning of any revelation, it's the ending of that revelation. It's when that revelation that you see of one God will say. We'll say one of the thunders are revelation of one God. When that comes to an end is when you got the thunder, not when you start off. You're talking about the seven thunders there. See, then when you get down to the end of it, well, suppose one of the mysteries is marriage and divorce. You say, well, I've heard the thunder of God. He told me about marriage and divorce. If you ain't come to an end, that was not the thunder, because the thunder ends that. There can't be nothing else added to it. Now, if you don't see what we just done and what we've been going through now for about 2 years, and how I've preached every seal and brought it to an end, then I'm sorry for you. If you can't catch what those thunders are there and what's done through every seal, you better go back and listen to every seal, because I preached every seal and brought it to an end. Brought it to an end. Brought the next and to an end. It's right up the line. I say that now for you personally, so that you'll see that it has already happened. The thunder is the voice of God telling you what that seal is when that seal comes to an end. Then when something comes to an end, there ain't nothing else can be added to it. You tell me, say, well, it's just when the Lord reveals something from the seal, that's the thunder. No. When the Lord ends that seal and tells you there can't be nothing else added to that seal, there's your thunder. There's the seven. That's why they're different from the one. See, because it's him telling you there can't be nothing else added to that seal. It's done. Your thunder is when it comes to an end. Your thunder's not when it starts. If it was when it started, it'd be on the first seal. See, now watch, the seventh seal has something to do with the first seal. When we get to it and see it, it'll have something to do with it. But the thunders are not under the first seal, they're under the seventh seal. Then they end the revelation of the first seal. And you got your thunder. Not the beginning of the revelation of it, that's not your thunder. That is the thunder of God, that's the voice of God speaking to you. But when the revelation that you have comes to an end, and there's your thunder. There's your voice of the Lord. To me, that's what the thunders are. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard His voice? Brother Branham said, we've heard His voice in the breaking of these seals. I was reading it today, I believe it's in the sixth seal. He said, we've heard His voice, either that or the question now, in the breaking of these seals. We've heard the voice of the Lord. But now, do you see, the one thunder could just start something. And watch the prophet. There was one blast of thunder and two sons. That just started something. That just started the revelation. But the seven thunders ended it. And it's on the last night he preached on the seals. And he said, have you seen the mysterious part of this week? It's been the angels of the Lord. But God's voice is the revelation speaking directly to you, telling you how that seal has come to an end. You say, well, that didn't add much to what I've always thought about it. Well, go back and listen to the tape. That's more than I've ever said. I've always taught that the thunders were the revelations contained in the seven seals, but I'd never seen it until just a few weeks ago, that when each seal comes to an end, there's your thunder. Not when it starts. Because if it was, it'd be on the first seal. And those thunders are not under the first seal, they're under the seventh. Now listen, to you that maybe don't understand seals, thunders, just think about it like this. What is a thunder? It's the voice of God. Whether it be one or seven, it's the voice of the Lord talking to you. Many people have heard His voice. Maybe you've heard His voice telling you, say, turn around, follow me. That's the voice of the Lord. Because you know what it'll be? Brother Branham covers on the Church Age series. He said, Charlie, the same loud voice that stopped you and told you to turn around, you know, as a sinner, told him to turn around and follow him. He said, one of these days, that same voice will call you and tell you to come up. The same voice that taught with John in Revelations 1, 2, and 3 over at Revelations 4 said, come up. Same voice now. Just like I said, this cornerstone, that's Jesus Christ. The church, the Bible says that He's the cornerstone. He's become the head of the corner. See, that's where He's at. He's the head of the corner. But the same Bible says the same Lord Jesus Christ becomes the head of all things. So what are we talking about? Jesus Christ. But it's what He's doing for the time. He talks to a sinner. That's His voice. He talked to a prophet and tell him things. That's His voice. He talked to a Christian and tell him different things. He even spoke to Daniel, the great prophet Daniel, back there in the Old Testament. He heard the thunders, but he didn't know what they were. But just think that a church could come to the place in the end time, just a little handful like this, you'd think that if that be so, what you're talking about, a great thing that will take us into rapture and something that the world ought to see, looks like it'd be the world out there hearing it. That's what I wanted my brother to see this morning, but I couldn't get him to see it. People just don't want to hear the word when it comes down. See, where we're at right now, it's took since 1971 when we started here, plus all the studying prior to then. to come down to the hour where we stand now and say those seven thunders are the revelations contained in the seven seals, and when God reveals to you what they are, you've heard the thunder. There was a time I didn't know what that meant. I could make that statement, but it's the revelation to you that counts. George, would you come? Let's just stand together. I didn't mean to keep you. Maybe we didn't stay too long, much more than we've been at it. But it's about going to be too late one of these days for a lot of people to think about it. Let's just sing it at the roll call, George. People are going to try to think one of these days what's 262. But if you don't understand what I'm talking about, just go home. Say, Lord, I don't know what that brother is saying. I don't know what he's talking about. But I hope I made myself clear enough that the thunder is the voice of God, whether it be just talking to a sinner, whoever it be. But the seven thunders are those revelations contained in those seven seals specifically to you. The prophet already heard them. Brother Brown said, hear ye him. He said, that don't mean, listen, he said, that don't mean just to hear a sermon. See, that's what a lot of people think, you know, like those do. But he said, that's to hear him. Has the Lord spoken to you? Then obey his voice. Then we're not looking at anything any different than what any denomination is supposed to be looking at. That Jesus Christ speaking to his people. That's what I believe he wants to do. I believe he wants to talk to us more than we'd ever want to talk to him. I've had a lot of heartaches and troubles lately, praying for my wife about her sickness and all that. That's hard on me because she's part of me and she's sick. And it puts a burden on my heart to think about her because I've seen her pass out with pain. And that's horrible to hurt that much. I've never hurt that much. I've hurt till I laid in the seat and cried begging to get to a doctor. But I've never hurt enough to pass out. But I've seen her do that. But see, that puts a burden on my heart, but you just think about the Lord. We think, well, I said today, I said, honey, what's wrong? I said, I believe the word that I'm healed. I said, but what's wrong? I said, why do I keep being sick? I said, honey, there's one thing about it. You can't be sick unless the Lord knows you are, and he has allowed that to happen, to try your faith. Do you think you could be sick today and the Lord not know it? There's no way. He knows all things. Well, then if you're sick or anything like that, he knows why you're sick. You might have something there. I told her, I said, check and see if there's anything wrong. If there ain't, just write on. See, sometimes we can have something wrong. Sometimes we can have something in our lives that's not right. And then we can pray and pray and pray and pray and it just won't be lifted off of us. Right, see, the Lord leaves that there to bring us to a place. But just think, when you're sick and you're hurting, I've seen many of you when you're sick and crying because of pain, you think, well, I just wish I could talk to the Lord. Well, you know, he wants to talk to us more than we want to talk to him. He made us for fellowship. We didn't make ourselves. He made us to fellowship with us. He wants to talk to us more than we want to talk to him. But if we just look at it that way, then on the lonely nights when your things going wrong, might help a lot. But just say, Lord, you want to talk to me more than I want to talk to you. So I know you're here. That's what helps me more than anything. Let's just sing this at the roll call. You just think about it. We want to all be there on that day, don't we? We want to all be there, don't we? Let's sing. God's gonna call the roll some morning. Just after. Anyone have a need now? Hey, trumpet sound. Anyone else have a need? The altar's open. Anyone else? God's gonna call.